We thank you so much.
Oh, yes,
Lord, and that you've given us. Lord, we just thank you for taking care of our needs. And
yes,
like Brother John said, just giving us just unexpected pleasures. Lord, even though some of it may be fleshly, you know what we need. And Lord, just thank you for just being there for us. And Lord, you've heard the prayers and the things that we're going through. And Lord, you already know that. And you're already in control of that. And we thank you for that. Lord, we're just looking so forward to a good day in your house and looking forward to all the praise and worship and the good preaching to hear your word. Lord, we just praise you and give you all the glory that only you deserve. These things we ask and we thank you for in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. All right. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And as I said before, this chapter shows us the model servant and how Paul had the attributes of that model servant. And as a result, we read him about him and how we can apply these attributes to our life to make us more like Christ and be a witness and a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw in verses 1 and 2 in chapter 2 the boldness and suffering that Paul and his friends went through. And then in verse 3 we seen his honesty and the purity that he had towards the Thessalonians, and how that we should have towards the lost world when we're presenting the gospel message, and not only the lost world, but in our daily living, so that our testimony is above reproach. And then in verse 4, we've seen the trust and faithfulness that he showed towards the Thessalonians. Verse 5, we've seen how his simplicity of speech and unselfishness towards the Thessalonians when he was teaching and preaching. Now, Paul, you know, was a well-educated man, and he did not use words above the normal man. He brought himself down to their level as far as being able to communicate with them. And now in verse number 6, we'll take a look at his humility and consideration of others. And look at Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. And slide on down to verse 33. Start there. Verse 33. And this deals with unselfish service. Acts 20 and verse 33, it reads, "I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto you my necessities to them that were with me." So Paul's saying, I didn't ask you, I didn't seek for anything from you, no money, no clothes. I worked with my hands to provide for myself and my friends. Verse 35, "I have shewed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ," or the Lord Jesus, "how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." So Paul not only supported himself, but he continued to give to those that weren't as fortunate as him. And that's a good example for us. Verse 6 reads in 2 Thessalonians, "Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ." Now, Paul didn't use his position to get wages, to get an income from them. And he had the right to. When you read Luke chapter 10 and verse 7, you read where the laborer is worth his hire. You read in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I'll take a look there. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 9. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 9. And Paul claims the right to live of the gospel the same as others have done. For it is written in the law of Moses that thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God care for the oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of this hope. For if we have sown to your spiritual things, is it a great thing if we reap your carnal things? So Paul told him, he says, I have the right to have an income from you, but I don't want that. I want to be as you are, and it shows his love towards the people because he didn't want to put a burden on them with more giving, because I'm sure they supported other missionaries there too that were out in the field as Paul taught them. So they had the right, but Paul wouldn't do it. He sought nothing of men, money, glory. Might have been burdensome to the apostle or to the Thessalonians, but he wasn't, and his people weren't that were with him. They did not use their authority to asserting their authority and demanding something from them. And so Paul, he just kept it. And there's not many preachers that'll do that today. Most preachers will take a wage from the local church, and there's nothing wrong with that. And Brother Knox, for years he would not accept anything from the church. And then it got to the point where he had to make a decision. He had to either leave his job at the post office and be full-time. He actually was full-time. And we use that as a misnomer. Every one of us are full-time Christians. But in order to support his family, he had to come off of his job in the post office and lose whatever retirement or whatever it was that he had to be minister to the local ministry there. And we finally decided that it was time for him to make that move. And so he did. After years of working full-time and overtime and ministering, he would go out on visitation. He would deal with the families, the problems. He would preach three times a week. He would teach classes other than just the ministering for the morning, evening, and Thursday evening. We had Bible classes going too. So he was really busy, and finally he made that move. And that's fine, because you need to support your family, take care of your family, and I don't have a problem with that. None of us should. And then in verses 7 and 8, we see gentleness and love from the Apostle Paul, how he demonstrated that. And if you look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and go down to verse 22. And here we have 8 charges that Paul gives to Timothy. Beginning in verse 22, he says, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those who oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Now, Paul's teaching us, ministers and us, what we tend to separate laymen and ministers, setting the minister above the layman. But we're all one in Christ. Our job, what we're supposed to do, is minister to others. As I've said before in the past, you know more than somebody else, and they'll come to you for questions and seeking advice and counseling. And these are the responsibilities that we have. Now, there's eight commands. Flee youthful lust. Now, that goes, if we're to maintain purity. Now, lust is not always in a sexual connotation. You can lust over anything, a car, a house, whatever it is. Flee those things. What you have, if God's allowed you to have that, and it's not you going out of your way, avoiding God's warning signs to get what you want, to fulfill your desire, then that's fine. You live with that. God's given me what I have, and I'm happy with that stuff. So, flee youthful lust. Follow righteousness, faith, love, and peace. How do you do that? How do you follow righteousness? You've got to know what it's talking about. That's why you get into the Word of God. That's how you're going to learn and be able to apply these things to your life. Avoid foolish and unlearned questions at gender strife. This comes up a lot with lost people or with newly saved people. Some of the questions that'll come up that'll try and throw you off. Where did Adam get his wife? What was the mark that Cain had? Who was cursed, and are all the blacks cursed? And all these questions, they'll generate strife. Avoid them whenever possible. Move on. Get them back, focus back to the issues in life. Where are you going to spend eternity? Do not strive with men. Maintain your testimony. Be gentle to all men. Sometimes that's hard when you're getting discussions, and sometimes you have to use that double-edged sword. You cut both ways when it comes to that point. Be apt to teach. Every one of us should be able to teach someone else what we know from the Word of God. One of the hard ones, be patient. Sometimes that's not the easiest thing to do.
No, sir.
Instruct others with the view of reclaiming them to the truth. And here you're reclaiming them back to the truth. So it's dealing with saved people that have gotten out on some, strange doctrine or moving towards one of the cults or something. Well, they're right in this area. So you have to be careful. Use wisdom in all your dealings. And then in Galatians chapter 5, you have the fruit, singular, of the Spirit, which is a ninefold fruit, which manifests itself in three ways. This is interesting. You realize God is a God of completeness. He manifests himself in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You'll find as you study in Scripture that when something is complete, it's always in three. The height, the width, the depth, so on and so forth. The water is solid, liquid, and gas. That's it. That's why Wyndham is around to help me out every once in a while. Okay, Galatians chapter 5. All right, come on, where are you? All right, the fruit manifests itself in three ways. Inwardly, first of all, it shows love, joy, and peace. That's inward. You can read the fruit of the Spirit in 22, verses 22, Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So the inward is the love, joy, and peace. Then manward, how we deal with other people, is long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Now, sometimes it's hard to be long-suffering when you're dealing with people. You know that because it gets on your nerves sometimes. And some of these people, it'll be the same thing over and over, and you want to shake them. What's wrong with you? Don't you understand? I've gone over this 100 times with you, and you still don't get it. But we need to be, and like Nora does to me. Slap, slap, slap. Long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. And then to Godward. How's it work, Godward? Our faith, our meekness, our temperance. That's how it works towards God. Our faith is shown through our study in the Word of God, and our temperance. You know what temperance is. You're able to endure things. So that's how verses 7 and 8, it shows gentleness and love. And they read, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you the gospel of God, not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us." And this is how it should be when we're dealing with especially someone we know and care for. We're dealing with them as they are lost, and we want them to get saved. We deal with them patiently, kindly, so that our humble attitude brings them to the Lord Jesus Christ. "Nor did we seek glory of men, as I said, but Paul Paul was concerned for not personal glory, but uplifting the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't need any fancy introduction. We see it so much today. You know, here we have Dr. So-and-so. And, you know, some of these guys have earned degrees, and that's great. But don't uplift these guys, Dr. So-and-so. Or you'll hear it, and you hear it a lot. And I know what they're talking about, but to me, I have a problem with it when they say, "And here now we have a great man of God coming to us." There's no great men of God. It's all a great God working through a man that has yielded to him, allowing the Lord to work in and through him.
I was watching television about that church down there in Charlotte that got defaced about there because of their stands and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The pastor is the Reverend Doctor.
Yeah.
So, and I'm thinking, the word reverend only appears one time in the Bible.
That's
it. It's God's name.
That's it. You're taking God's name. Call yourself the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. Reverend. I understand where that comes from, but these people that are supposed to be Bible scholars should know the difference, because it goes back to the Nicolaitans. They're exalting themselves above us, the stupid laity people. Yeah, and we need to avoid that. So, but Paul says we were gentle among you, like a nurse who only looks out to care for the children. Now, we have one nurse in here, and I hope she's the ideal, as John says, her husband says she is. She sets the standard for all nurses, who cares and watches over. That's what a nurse does, cares for and watches over their patients, as we should, the people that we're reaching. And Paul speaking, saying how much he cared for the people and how they gave of themselves for the people. They loved the people and wanted to be with them and teach them the Scripture. It should be exciting for us when we have an opportunity to teach somebody else what we know from the Word of God and we've been over and through. John 10, verses 12 and 13 says, "But he that is an hireling and not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep." Now, a true minister is one who really cares for the souls of others. They're not going to allow that wolf or false doctrine to come in and upset that ministry or the people they're dealing with. And each one of us are to be a nurse type, a shepherd type person when it comes to the people that we know and minister to. So we watch over them. And then in verse 9, we see self-sacrificing. You can look at Acts 20 and 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And verse 9 reads, "For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preaching unto you the gospel of God." Then he reminds them what he had done so as not to be a burden to anyone that he ministered to. Laboring night and day. He and his companions had worked day and night with their own hands. Paul was a tent maker and worked with his own hands in Thessalonica and other places that he went. Acts 18:3. Take a look at that.
What was that?
Acts 18:3. Paul working. Pick it up here. He meets with Aquila and Priscilla. And these things Paul departed from. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, they abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. So you know what Paul did, and we all knew that, I'm sure, that Paul was a tent maker, And then 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In verse number 12. And labor, working with his own hands, being reviled, we blessed, being persecuted, we suffered. Again, we have Paul working with his own hands here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. So Paul was not a lazy man. He didn't seek to be supported by the local ministry. And 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any man, any would not work, neither should he eat." A good principle for today. Look at our welfare system. How many people do you see? Well, example. Coming off the expressways, hungry, please help. Hungry, go down half a mile, there's 20 signs for help. And I'm sure there are people in need that do really need help. But if you can stand on a corner or exit holding a sign, I'm sure you can work.
Those folks are very young, too.
Yeah. We were in verse 9 in 2 Thessalonians, and then 2 Thessalonians 3:10, that was the verse, that if you should not, you don't work, you don't eat. That's a good principle for today. So Paul worked during the day, it looks like, making tents, and he preached in the evening. Now, Acts 20 and verse 9 is interesting. Most of you know what happened here. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 9. You think we have long services sometimes? Because we're not out of here by 12, 12:30, whatever it is. Acts 20 and verse 9. And there sat, now this is Paul preaching, on the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread. This is verse 7 in Acts 20. Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Mm. Until midnight. You talk about long services. And there were many lights in the upper chambers, and where they were gathered together. Now verse 9. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen in a deep sleep, and Paul was long preaching. He sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. A good illustration for you. Don't fall asleep during service. And Paul went down and fell on him, embracing him, said, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." So we see that Paul preached long services. And this man fell asleep, fell down three floors, was dead. And Paul still, during this transition period, had the power to heal and brought him back to life. Well, the Lord brought him back to life, but used Paul.
It says also in verse 11, said even after that they went back, broke bread, and talked a long while, even till the break of day.
Yeah, yeah. You talk about a long service. you know, and... people had to be interested. They were hungry for the word. You know, here, not I don't mean this particular ministry, but in most ministries, if the preacher's not done by 12 o'clock, you'll see people turning around, looking at their watches, and want to fire him because he wasn't done at that particular time. And then in verse 10, we see blameless conduct. And you see that throughout in 2 Corinthians 6. You see it in Ephesians 1, Philippians 2, and 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 10 reads, "And ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe." So to the believers, to the saved people there, they had no reason to complain about him. So the three major qualities in Christian living that we can apply to ourselves is living a holy life. That's in reference to God. Being just, that's righteous, just, and it's in reference to man. Here again, God deals in threes to be complete, unblameably. That's in reference to our life and conduct before God and man. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, we see that there. And again, he appeals to them as witnesses as well to God, how holily, justly, and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As ye know, we exhorted and charged every one of you as a father his children, that ye should walk worthy of God, and hath called you unto his own kingdom and glory. So God calls us and tells us how we should live, and Paul sets an example for us. And again, you know, Paul here sets the example, and in verses, we'll look at that next. We'll pick up in parental care and training, and verses 11 and 12, we'll pick that up next week. And so Paul sets an example for us and shows us some things here that we should and need to apply to our lives to be the type of Christian that God wants us to be. And then, like I said, we'll pick up verses 11 following next week. Floyd, pray for us, please.
Father, we thank you again, Lord, for this opportunity we've had to be in Sunday school this morning. Father, we sure do thank you, Lord, for speaking through Brother John, Lord, and bringing the lesson and all of his study. And Father, we sure are thankful, Lord, for all that he does for us, dear Lord. But most of all, Lord, what you do for us on a daily basis. And Father, thank you for your mercy and your grace, where you've been so sweet. And Lord, we ask you to bless the rest of this morning. Bless the pastor, Lord, as he stands and preaches. Give strength to his body. Use him, dear Lord, and speak through him, dear Lord, those things that we need, Father, that we might meditate, Lord, and take home with us, just like our Sunday school lesson. And Lord, that we'll keep it with us every day. Thank you again. May that one that may be lost this morning, Lord, that you would save them before it's eternally too late. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.